the book of Jude 20 through 23. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ until eternal life. And of some, have compassion, making a difference. And others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh.
I want to say once again, it is a joy to be with you here. This is my second opportunity to be here. I was able to be here last year with you and very much enjoy the fellowship. I love the, of course, we are from a country away almost, half a country away, and that's a long trip out here. And we flew. I couldn't even imagine the wagon trains as they came out. I did think about that as we were driving up here, but that's quite a jaunt to get out here. A lot of distance in between. I love the fact that what we see when we get out here, what the bond that we have. You know, there are a lot of things that unite people, and I think it's very encouraging, and it really is a wonderful thing to me. And I think about it the more I have the opportunity to go different places, but the bond that we have because of Christ. And it really is a comforting thing. We can come here, our whole group can come in, you can welcome us like it is. And it's not necessarily because we're like-minded in a lot of different desires and different things like that, but the reason we have such clean and pure fellowship is the fact that we have that same common denominator, that is Christ. And it really is a wonderful thing to be able to come out here and experience that. I've been able to had the opportunity to talk to many of you, and it really is an encouraging thing to have that bond in Christ. And we're thrilled to be here. My name is Willie Parton, and my wife Sarah, she was not able to be here with me last year, but my wife was able to come this year with us. And I've been at the Wilds for about 20 years now, at the camp out there. We've been married for about 12 years. Am I right? Oh, no, that's not wrong. 15. I am in so much trouble right now. But 15, going on. See, I'm not into that. You should know. Exactly. So I'm okay then. But we'll figure it out afterwards. We'll let you know. But we're around 14 or 15 years being married. And it's been bliss. It has. We have four children, 11-year-old, 9-year-old, 5-year-old, and we're done. And we've got a 2-year-old as well. And she wasn't able to be, our 2-year-old's finally to the point where he can be left alone, so she was able to come out with me. I'm thrilled that she's here with us. Hope you had an opportunity to meet some of the crew as well. And it's been fun traveling with these guys, and they've been a blessing to me, and I hope they've been a blessing to you as well, even in the music. Maybe some of the conversation as well. As we begin, I would like to ask God to bless our time together, and as we open up his word, and ask him to just allow him to teach us from his word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for what you give us. And even as we were already talking about the fact that that we have a bond, and it's because of Christ. Lord, we thank you so much for that. We have the same mindset and the same eternal end, Lord, and it's because of you, and what a joy that is to just think about. And Father, I pray now that as we go into your word for the next few minutes that we're together, Lord, that you would really just help us and guide us in this, and even as Pastor already prayed earlier, that if our heart is not in tune with your heart, Lord, I pray that you would help us to be willing to change. And you know my heart here, Lord. I don't want my words to get in the way, and I pray that you would make your will and your plan through your word very evident to all of us, myself included. Pray that your Holy Spirit would be our teacher today. In your name we pray. Amen. We're going to be dealing with something this morning that affects each one of us as believers, and the title of the message today is Principles of Compassion. As Christians, we should be people. Which what I mean by that is the fact that we care about people. Because in our leader, in the person that we follow, who is Jesus Christ, he gave a wonderful example of this as he walked here on earth. He didn't just say, you know what, I want you to live for me, I want you to love people, and then walk away and not show us how. He showed us by example exactly how we are to deal with people as we're here on earth. And that applies to whether it's unsaved people or people who are brothers and sisters in Christ. It's very important for us to get that in our heads, that we are to be people of compassion no matter who we meet. And we care about people, whether it be unsaved people or it be Christians. You know, God didn't pull all of the most lovable people aside and make them Christians. That's not how he did it. And we need to be the type of people where we look and say, okay, how did Christ interact with people? I had the opportunity, I took the opportunity a while back to really kind of walk through how Christ dealt with people as he was walking through his life. And I was really overwhelmed with the truth of how many times I saw the phrase, and he was moved with compassion. So I wanted to stop, and I really kind of focused in on that and really wanted to understand what that really meant and how he showed that as he walked through this life. He really did love people, and it's very, very evident. And we're going to have to be the exact same way. As we walk through this life, we need to be people who are willing to be moved with compassion. And God shows us how we do that. I'd like to start, and there's a few principles that I'd like to just pull out of Scripture today and see what these principles of compassion are. I'd like to start in Matthew chapter 14. We're going to go through a few different passages because of the nature of what we're going to be dealing with today. And we're going to see exactly how Christ showed his compassion. The first thing I think we need to see today is if we're going to be people of compassion, if this is going to be how we exemplify in our lives, what we do in our lives, number one, we have to be willing to get to the point where we recognize the need. This is exactly how Christ was. Look at Matthew chapter 14, verse 13. It says this, when Jesus heard it, of course, he was talking about already all the stuff that had gone on in verses 1 through 12. We don't have time to go back and read those. We said, when Jesus heard it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. Now, right there, it looks like Christ wanted to be alone, and he did. But you know what? That didn't motivate. That didn't say, you know what? I'm not going to have ministry with anybody else. Christ was willing to set himself aside, and we'll see this. He said, when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And they wanted to see Christ. They had heard so much about him and what he had done. And they were willing to follow him wherever he went. And again, that didn't mean Christ just was trying to run away from them. He didn't do that. Look farther. He says in verse 14, it says, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude. He saw a great multitude. And that's the first thing that we need to see, that he was willing to recognize the need. Now, when we see the word saw in this passage, it doesn't mean just that he just noticed it over on the side. Oh, yeah, there's a great throng of people over there. That's not what it means. If you were to really study out that word, it has a different idea. It means this. It means to perceive or to consider. It literally has the idea to stare at, to the point of discerning clearly. And this is exactly what Christ was doing. When you study that Greek, it wasn't just that he noticed something. He saw the great multitude and he realized something about those people. He perceived a great need. He was willing to recognize there was something deficient in this group of people, and he had the ability to answer that need. These people were very needy people. They wanted to know, to have what Christ was showing. Christ recognized that need. If we're going to be walking through this earth, if we're going to have these principles of compassion, we need to get to the point in our lives, myself included, that we are able to recognize needs. Not just, yeah, there's people over there, but really perceive and dive in and discern what those needs are. A number of years ago, there was a need at camp, and it was a need of, we needed more lifeguards during our September through May camps. We have them come in during the summer. We get some summer staff, but we needed some lifeguards during that time. And well, they looked to the program staff, which is what I'm a part of out there. And they were saying, okay, all of you guys that are on program staff, we need you to become lifeguards. And the first thing that when you take lifeguarding, is the first thing they really teach you is to have the ability to recognize the need. I think we can understand why that's important. You know, I remember when I went to a pool one time and I noticed the lifeguard. He was up and he was wearing jeans, a collared shirt. He's sitting on the lifeguard stand reading a book. He wasn't going to be terribly effective recognizing the need. The first thing that we have to do is be able to recognize the need. Sometimes it's easy. I remember it seemed like after I became a lifeguard, it seemed like everybody that had trouble swimming was always like 10 feet from me. And I told the teens this earlier. I struggle with cold water. Okay? Now, we have mountains in North Carolina. We talked about that. But and up there in the mountains, we've got a lot of cold water. So I struggle very hard at getting in this water. So I wasn't terribly excited about being a lifeguard. And I think the Lord was trying to teach me a lesson. But it seemed like every single time somebody was a distressed swimmer, they were right in front of me, and I had to be the person to recognize that need. I couldn't put it off. I remember one time I was out there, I was standing on the lifeguard stand, and I was trying to take the one, this was not very servant-like of me, but I didn't want to get in the water. And I was taking the one that was farthest away from what I thought would be an issue. Well, this black boy came up, and he was getting on what we call our water trolley. If you were here earlier, you probably saw the picture of it. And he was getting on, and I should have noticed it right off the bat. He was wearing jeans. Not a great thing. And but he's coming down. Sometimes it's easier to recognize the need. He gets up there. He was probably 12 years old. He's riding the water trolley down, and as he's coming down, he's screaming these words, "I can't swim!" Now, my first thought was not, "Oh, I need to make sure I'm ready to take care of him." My first thought was, "Well, then why are you up there?" So it's fairly easy at that point for me to recognize that need. I understand, okay, he can't swim. When he gets in the water, I'm probably going to have to be there to meet him. Now, as we carry through life, we have to get to the point where we notice things about people. And we recognize the need. And that's exactly how Christ was. Christ recognized the needs. I think it's very telling. I think it's very important for us to see why Christ was able to recognize the need. Because of this, he was not consumed with himself. He was consumed with others. As we go back to my illustration, it was harder for me to recognize the fact that this kid was probably going to have trouble because I was consumed with myself. That's not how Christ was. Christ was consumed not with himself. He was consumed with his Father. We see in John chapter 4, verse 34, Christ saying, "My meat, the substance of what I do, the reason I live, is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." How was Christ able to recognize and to perceive needs? Not just noticing, but perceive needs. It's the fact that he was consumed with God. And as we deal with people and as we try to help people, as we try to show compassion, we need to get to the point in each one of our lives that we discern these things because we are not consumed with ourselves, we are consumed with God. At that point, we can actually have the ability, by God's grace, to recognize the need. But that's not the only thing we see as far as these principles of compassion. Number one, Christ was able to recognize the need. But secondly, we see in the same passage and many others, Christ was moved to action by his compassion. Look again at verse 14. He says, "And Jesus went forth. He saw a great need." Of course, we've already seen that word of saw, and we understand what that means. He perceived that there was a great need. And what happened? It didn't just leave him moved. It moved him to compassion. We see it right there. He saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion towards them. If we're going to be moved to compassion, we've got to understand exactly what that means. The definition of compassion is this: a feeling of deep sympathy and sorrow for another who is stricken by misfortune. But it doesn't just stay there. It also means this: accompanied by a strong desire to alleviate that suffering. And that's what we see. What we're talking about today is this compassion that moves us to action. Now, the word we see right here for compassion is the Greek word splagnosthai. It's the word splachna. It refers to the inner bowels of a person. And it's defined as being moved to the very depths of one's being. Again, it's not just a noticing, "Oh yeah, they're having trouble over there. I'm sure somebody will stop and help them." It goes farther than that. It means that we are moved to action by recognizing those needs. And we see exactly what Christ did. When Christ recognized the need, he was moved to action. What did he do? Number one, we see that he met the physical need. What did he do? He healed their sick. He also took pains, we see this here in another passage, he took pains to feed them. There was a physical need, and he met that physical need, but he didn't stop there. When there's a spiritual need, he meets that as well. And he sees the needs, and as we look and see these different passages where we see that he has moved to compassion, he talks about praying for them. He's moved to action by recognizing that need and by meeting that spiritual need by teaching them doctrine of who he is and who God is. And my question for all of us, myself included, is when we see someone in distress, whether it be physical or spiritual, does it leave us moved or does it move us to compassion? We try to alleviate that need. And sometimes it is a physical thing that we can help with, especially in a body of believers. I understand the need of I've heard yesterday and even today about the man down in that's in Salt Lake right now that has the lesion on his brain. And people who are going down there, who are praying, who are very intent to help them in spiritual need. That's what the body does. That's the purpose. Christ was able to recognize the need, but not just that. He was moved to compassion by his action. You know, there were days, William Barclay said this, there were days when from morning to evening he was surrounded by sick people, talking about Christ, and people begging for his help. And what did he do? Did he push them away? No, he always freely gave it. Are we willing to be like this? But we're not done. We see so many different ways that Christ showed his compassion towards people because, again, he wasn't here for himself. He was here to do the will of his Father. Not only was he able to recognize the need, not only was he able to be moved to compassion, moved to action by his compassion, but the next thing we see as we walk through where Christ walked, Christ was willing to touch the untouchables. I'd like you to turn to Mark chapter 1. He was willing to touch the untouchables. Look at Mark chapter 1, verse 38. Mark says this, "And Jesus said unto them, Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. Verse 39, and he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. And then something strange happened. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And here's our phrase again. Again, we see this over and over and over again when Christ is walking through this earth. In verse 41, and Jesus, what does it say? Moved with compassion. It didn't just evaporate into a feeling. He was moved to action by his compassion, by what he saw. And Jesus moved with compassion. What did he do? He put forth his hand, and look at this, and touched him. And saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. We see what's going on here. You know, Christ could have said, the leper comes up and he begs for Christ's mercy, and Christ could have said, I will heal you, be thou clean. But Christ was doing more here. He was touching somebody who was considered untouchable. Now, if you've studied anything about leprosy back in those days, it was an incredibly harsh disease. There were a number of different types of leprosy. There was antiseptic leprosy. There were a couple others as well. And each one was more progressively intense in we see the problems in the physical body. Literally, lesions come up and spots come up and eventually the flesh just starts to decay and appendages and different things just start to fall off. And back in those days, if somebody had leprosy, they were treated as unclean, and they weren't even allowed to walk down the streets with common people. It's told of stories of rabbis throwing rocks at lepers to keep them at bay, to keep them at distance. Other stories of people who were not willing to purchase an egg and eat that egg on a street that a leper had walked down. So you think about the problem of just the leprosy itself, but then the fact that they were ostracized by the society because of what they were going through. This is a very, very harsh thing. You know, and Christ saw this, and he was moved with compassion. He was willing to touch the untouchables. He reached down and he touched someone who nobody else would touch. That's compassion. I doubt very seriously that we will ever come into contact with lepers in our time. Could be possible. But we think about those who are considered outcasts of society even today. People who are considered untouchable. And maybe even people who we consider for ourselves as untouchable. Somebody who we have zero desire to show compassion to. William Barclay said, love forgets the ugliness because its only desire is to help. That's exactly how we should be, and that's exactly who Christ was. He was willing to touch somebody who nobody else would touch. Are we willing to recognize the need and to go out and help people who nobody else wants to help? That's exactly what a Christian looks like. Not only did Christ recognize the need, not only was he moved to compassion, moved to action by his compassion, not only was he willing to touch those who nobody else would be willing to touch, but the next thing we see, the next principle we see is that Christ was willing to be interrupted. Now some of these other things we might say, you know what, those are obvious acts of compassion. You know what, I am willing to go out and help those who nobody else helps. That's obvious compassion. But here's one that turns a little bit more personal. And that's the fact that are we willing to be interrupted? Do we care about people? Turn to Matthew. Where do we see this? Turn back to Matthew chapter 9. Again, we're just walking with Christ. We're watching him as he deals with people. And we're seeing how he is moved to action by his compassion. Matthew chapter 9, verse 20 says this. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years, came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, the same word that we've seen earlier, not just a noticing, but a perception, a discerning, a staring into to recognize a need. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. I want you to go back and look again at verse 18 and see why we see that Christ was willing to be interrupted. Verse 18 says, while he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead. But come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. Now what do we see right here? Christ was on a mission. He was on a mission, a very important mission. A ruler, a very important person had come up to Christ and said, hey, I need you desperately. And obviously Christ recognized that need, and he said, okay, I'm on my way. And he starts following him and with the rest of the disciples. He's on a very important mission. But what happens? As he's going and as he's walking along the way, there's a lady who is struggling and has been struggling for many years. And she's thinking, if I can just touch his garment, I'll be healed. And she's walking along and she gets there and she touches his garment. Now, at that point, she's healed. And what does Christ do? He could have kept on going, knowing that he had a very important mission to accomplish, a very important thing to do. But what did he do? He stopped and he turned around and he took time. He was willing to be interrupted. That's compassion. This woman, because of her illness, was completely cut off from society. According to Jewish law, this woman was considered completely unclean. So this woman not only had her illness to deal with, but the loneliness that came along with it. And this was probably her last hope. And Christ was willing to stop. My question to all of us is this: are we willing to be interrupted for the cause of Christ? How do we view people? Are they interruptions? Or are we willing to be interrupted from something that might be very, very important for us to do? Are we willing to be interrupted to meet a need? Christ was. You know why? Christ didn't care about himself. Christ cared about God and the will of his Father and others. But not only do you see that Christ was willing to touch the untouchables, not only do we see that Christ was willing to be interrupted, but in the same passage right here, we see that Christ cared about individuals. He cared about that one lady right here in this passage. And when I read this passage, I can't feel but that for Christ, that crowd just didn't exist anymore. In the midst of a crowd, Christ gave all his attention to one person. And this woman, insignificant to the crowd, was not insignificant to Christ. One sign of a really great person is this, that they are interested in individuals. I heard a story about a man, I can't remember his name at this time, he was a great violinist. And he was having a concert in London. And the concert was completely sold out. There's one young girl, probably 9, 10 years old, she wanted so badly to hear him play his violin in the concert. And she saw him coming out of his hotel, and she went up to this man and said, "Is there any way that I can get in and to the concert?" He said, "There's no way. Every ticket is sold out. There's not even room for a church mouse in that concert hall." And in tears, this young lady, she broke down and she said, "Well, how in the world am I going to hear your concert? I'll never be able to hear you play." And he said, "Oh, but you will." He took a chair, he set her down, he took his violin out, and he played his entire concert for her. That's somebody who cares about individuals. And whether that person was a believer or not, I don't know the whole story there. But he's showing something that was true of Christ. He cared very much about individuals. And my question to each one of us is, how do we do in that? Do we take time for people? This is one that's very rebuking to me. Do we listen to people? Do we make people feel like they are important? That is a sign of compassion. Or do we so often pull out our cell phones and have that conversation while we're doing whatever on our phone? I can't help but that would be completely foreign to Christ. I'm so glad that God cares about this individual. Augustine said, "God loves each one of us as if there was only one of us to love." How do we do? If we're going to have compassion in our lives to people, we have to care about the individual. A couple more and then we're done. Not only did Christ care about the individual, not only was he willing to be interrupted, but Christ was unbelievably approachable. People were willing to come to Christ. We see in Matthew chapter 11 a description of Christ. And it says this about Christ. He said, "A bruised reed shall he not break. A smoking flax shall he not quench." Now what does he mean by that? You know what a bruised reed is? You've probably seen it before. It's a stalk. It's got this big head on top, and it's very easy. They're very fragile, and if one gets tipped over at all, it's very easy to go snap it off and throw it aside. A smoking flax, the same way. It's a candle that's having a hard time staying lit. What's the point of this passage? When Christ came into contact with people who were as fragile as a broken reed or as fragile as a smoking flax, he didn't just cast them aside as if they were important and done and finished. He nurtured them until they were useful again. That's Christ. Christ is approachable. I am so glad that we can approach him. I am so glad that we can come before him. And he doesn't blow us out of the water. Because I can tell you, I'm sinful enough for him to blow me out of the water every single day that I live. But I'm also very thankful that I've heard the promise over and over again that if I ask for forgiveness, he will forgive. Christ was approachable. Remember the story about when the disciples were arguing? They seemed to do that a lot. And they were arguing, and what did Christ do? He went, one of the times he was arguing, he went and he called a child over to him. Now, there are a lot of adults that children just don't come to. And if somebody were to call them over, they'd run back to their mother's skirt tails. But Christ, and this just shows me what kind of a person Christ really was. He called the child came over, he set him on a lap, and they stayed there. He was able to use them as an illustration. Are we approachable? We should be the people in our community, in our church, that if there's a problem, they should be willing and they should want to come to us, because they know that when they come to us, we're not going to blow them out of the water. William Barnes said, talking about these people that Christ interacted with, these are emblems of feebleness and infirmity. And Christ would no farther oppress them and extinguish them. He would not be like the Jews, proud and overbearing and trampling down the poor. He would not treat them harshly and unkindly, but will cherish the feeble flame, talking about this passage right here, and minister the oil of grace and kindle it into a blaze. Are we approachable? But not only was Christ cared about the individual, not only was he approachable, but we see that Christ was willing to sacrifice. Christ showed his compassion by his willing death on the cross. Do you ever stop to dwell on the cross of Christ and what Christ went through? I hope that's a constant practice of ours. And as we think about the cross of Christ and what Christ went through, what it really meant to Christ to do that. You know, the agony of the cross is terrible and bad enough, but I really truly believe in my heart that the biggest part of the crucifixion was not necessarily the fact that he was going to die a cross death, but it was the fact that Christ, up to this point, had perfect fellowship with God. And not of anything that Christ did, but because of everything that I did, God turned his back, because God cannot look on sin. And because Christ took my sin on the cross, God turned his back on Christ. There was the agony that Christ went through. We can't really fathom that right now. But I believe that one day when we get to heaven, we will realize what we had been missing. So often when we are in the Word of God and we hear God speak to us through his Word, we get that. We see that fellowship and it means something and it's moving to us. And one day we're going to get to heaven and we're going to realize the fellowship that Christ had with God. It was perfect. Christ was willing to sacrifice for me. John MacArthur said, even when men openly hate God and do not have the least desire to give up their sin, they are still objects of God's redeeming love. Wow. And Christ sacrificed himself for us. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 says this, be therefore followers of God as dear children. And Paul says, walk in love. Teens, there's another one of those walks that we were talking about in Sunday school. And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Christ showed the world compassion in that one act, combined in three, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Is it anything for us to show compassion and be willing to sacrifice for others? There are so many other places that we could go in Scripture to see how Christ interacted with people. So how are we doing? Are we to the point where we recognize needs? Are we moved to action by that compassion that we see over and over again in Scripture about Christ? Are we willing to touch the untouchables? Be willing to minister and help and love those who nobody else loves? Are we willing to be interrupted? Do we care about individuals? Are we approachable? And are we willing to sacrifice? All of those were true about Christ. And as Christians, little Christs, they should be true of us as well. Aren't you glad that God loves you? Aren't you glad that Jesus shows his compassion to you? One of my favorite passages of Scripture is found in Hebrews chapter 13. I'm going to ask Jordan to come sing a song here in a moment. And Christ says in that passage that I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I love this passage because he uses a double negative in this passage. Now, a double negative in the English language, you know what that means? It means a positive, right? But a double negative in the Greek language is emphasis. And Christ is saying, I will never, ever, ever, ever leave you. I will never, ever, ever, ever forsake you. So what can man do to you? That should be comforting. It should be motivating for us to, as Christians, show that same type of compassion to others.